at this week. Okay? Or it doesn't have to be this week, just recently, that you've had a blessing, God's done something, and you want to be thankful and give testimony. Yes, ma'am.
My mother was 90. She had a leak in her roof, and they came and fixed it. But she looked at it yesterday, and she said, that really looks kind of bad. So at 96 years old, she dragged all the furniture out and put it with regular on the deck. And then she heard this big crash. And her roof fell down. So she was out of the deck, you know?
But she was okay.
Yeah, and so was all the stuff.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
That is very amazing. Thank God for that. Amen.
That's an Irish blessing.
Okay. Somebody asked me once if I had a leak in the roof, and I said, no, I don't think so. They said, then how did a big rip like you get in?
Oh.
Okay. All right, so anybody else? Anybody else going to share something? Thank you for that. Thank you. God has blessed anybody else. Yes, sir.
A lot of people think that the internet is very dangerous, and it is. And that children are exposed to things that they should not be. But I found that the internet can be used for this. And Facebook, for a good example, uses a lot of people. I used to be just get my friendship to a very small group of people, but now I've decided that that's really not going to do the job. So I've taken a lot of people in on my Facebook, and I'm finding that I can witness just as easy online, and it stays there, so that someone can pick it up later on in the afternoon. And it also, another thing that happens is pretty interesting, and it causes me to dive into the Bible deeper, because many times I'll have someone hit me with a counter punch, and I'll say, wow, I didn't see that one coming, and I have to find out why, and I can't answer it right off the top. And that's where I do my study. It's amazing.
Thank you, Rob. Amen. I very much agree with you. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I want to say something here, too. One of the things you said there, and I've mentioned this around here, it's a great example he gave of what I mean by that. You always learn by teaching. You always learn by teaching. First of all, if you're teaching, you do it correctly, you're going to study your subject matter and prepare, and you'll learn that way. But secondly, almost invariably, somebody will ask you a question that you never thought of. And now you got to think, okay, now what is the answer to that? And that causes you to study more. And that's what you were just saying. And I appreciate that so much. And you're right. The internet can be a blessing and a curse. It can be. There's very dangerous things out there. And yet there's some very wonderful things out there. For example, I think we're on the internet right now. So, okay, so that's the example of what we're talking about. Let me say this, though. Be careful what you do put on the internet, because as you just said, once it's out there, it's out there. I mean, it's out there forever for pretty much anybody who wants to see it and hear it can. So put good things out there is what I'm trying to say. If you're angry at somebody, best not put it on the internet. It's permanent. All right, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Thankful for the souls that have been saved at Summer Day Camp. And so we have quite a few in the new campers, and also the different, just working with talking to the parents as well. And I've enjoyed it. And my second praise also, thankful that my daughter Christabel is doing much better. So she hasn't been coughing much. Still waking up during the night, and so. But last night was for a different reason, and so. But I'm thankful, and we're all feeling much better. So praise the Lord.
That is something to be thankful for. Thank you. God bless you. Wonderful. Anybody else? Okay. Opportunity is going. Yes.
Doing well and is healing, and that camp's been going well despite lots of changes that we've had to work with. Just shows that God is faithful. He's faithful when we travel, faithful to keep us safe, he's faithful. able to heal and to create opportunity through even the toughest things. And that way we emerge not only stronger in our faith, but an example to those that are watching. So I'm just grateful for, I guess, what the summer has unfolded for me so far.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That was good. All right. Don't look at anybody off. Anybody else? Okay, let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. And in Philippians, chapter 4, I just want to stress a couple things with you. This morning, if you were in the Sunday school hour, we saw where Peter, in 2 Peter, states that in the last chapter of 2 Peter, states that the writings of Paul, maybe that was this 10:30 hour this morning, well, I was in Peter both, kind of know about it. Sometime I was in Peter recently, and Peter stated that Paul's writings were part of the scriptures. And what Peter is saying there is that the writings of Paul, the epistles of Paul that we have here, are written under inspiration of scripture, same as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the other books of the Old Testament. Because when Peter uses the term the scriptures, that's what he means. He means what we call the Old Testament. But he classifies Paul's writings as being with the other scriptures. That's a very important statement that he makes there. Paul wrote approximately half of the New Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. Paul definitely wrote 13 of them. These epistles are here for us, and they're for our understanding. The book of Philippians, and I've said all that I've said so far to get to this point, is probably the most quoted of Paul's epistles. Now, we quote from Romans a great deal, and from Galatians and Ephesians, but I think people quote from Philippians more than just about any of them. For example, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you have heard people quote that? Sure you have. And probably don't even know that it's Philippians 4:13. They've just heard the statement, they like it, and they quote it. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so. As long as you know and understand what you're saying. There are other phrases from the book of Philippians that we come to. So what we're going to look at tonight is not unfamiliar to you, and it'd be hard to go to Philippians and find some unfamiliar passage because it is so well known. But I want us to start at verse 6, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. For Paul writes and he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I want to call your attention to the last phrase in verse 8, where Paul says, think on these things. These are things we ought to think about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessings. Just ask that you bless us in these next few moments and help us to be learning from you. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide. And may we learn to think on the things that you want us to think about and keep our mind occupied on you so that we may have peace of mind. Now, Lord, prevail in all that we do in these next few moments. Help us to lift up Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Those of us who are believers in Jesus, those of us who have been saved by him, are supposed to be growing. And growing in what way? Are we going to get any taller? No, I don't think so. I haven't gotten any taller since I was 15 years old. And actually, I think I've gotten a little shorter in recent years. And that happens, I'm told. But the truth of the matter is, it's not talking about getting taller and growing in that way. It's talking about growing spiritually. What does it mean to grow spiritually? Peter ends his second epistle by saying, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's very good. Paul writes and he says, we are to grow up into him. What does that mean? That means we're to grow to be like Jesus. Now, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we have to learn to think like Jesus. Go back, if you will, to chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to notice what Paul has to say here. He tells us in chapter 2 that we are to, verse 4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. What does that mean? It means don't be self-centered. Self-centeredness is one of the biggest problems that I think people have today. Thinking about me. Think about number one. Remember what we were talking about this morning? Doing things my way. And honestly, folks, I notice it in some people more than others, of course, but I think any of us can be a little bit too self-centered. Somebody who's always focused on themselves is going to be, listen, is going to be a miserable person. They are. Somebody who's focused on others tends to be a happier person. A pastor I knew years ago, a friend of mine many years ago, wrote a poem once. I can't remember the poem word for word, but I remember the message of the poem. And the message was this. I wish I could give you the poem, but I can give you the message of it. The message was this. He said he was in his study one day, and he had some problems that were weighing heavy on his mind, very heavy. And they were weighing him down, and he was beginning to pray. He said, and somebody came into the office and sat down and said, Pastor, I have this problem. They unloaded their burden. And he talked with them, and he prayed with them, tried to help them. A little bit later, he said, somebody else came in with a problem, and they shared their problem. And the pastor said he listened to them, counseled with them, and prayed with them. And person after person, he said, came in that day with their problems. He said, by the time it got to the end of the day, he hadn't had time to think about his problems. And after listening to the other people's problems and counseling with the folks and helping them, he said, I looked around for my problems, I couldn't find them. Now that is a great illustration of what Paul is saying here in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Keyword, others. Then verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means learn to think like Jesus thinks. Now, I like to listen to the radio. I listen to the radio mainly when I'm driving. Sometimes I'll listen to the radio on the internet. And I have just four that I can think of right off the top of my head broadcast. And I guess this is a sign that I'm getting older because when I was young, I've always liked to listen to the radio when I'm driving. When I was young, I'd listen to music on the radio. And when somebody came on and was talking, I'd change stations so I could get more music. Now, I listen to radio to hear people talk, and when the music comes on, I change the station to get more talking. I guess, again, that's a sign of getting older. But I have about four favorite broadcasts. And I don't like to say this, but it's true. Two of my favorite broadcasters are dead. They're still playing their broadcasts, and I'm still listening to them, but they died years ago. Two of them did. The other two are still alive. And I've mentioned some of these from time to time. One of them is Dr. Adrian Rogers. I like to listen to Dr. Adrian Rogers. The man had a wonderful way of saying things. My mother-in-law was a member of his church for a while, and that was some years ago. But he had a wonderful way of saying things and had some of the best quotes I've ever heard in my life. But as I said, I'm usually listening to him when I'm driving. I hear him say these wonderful quotes, and I think, oh, that's good. I want to use that. But I can't write it down because I'm driving, and then I forget it, and I can't remember it. But one of these days, I'm going to get some of them. Another one that I like to listen to is old Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And Dr. McGee was a great expositor of the scriptures. And do I agree with him 100%? No. But you know what? If he were around today, he probably wouldn't agree with me 100% either. And that's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. He's in heaven, and when I get there, we'll figure out which one of us is right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he already knows. But the fact is, I like to listen to him. Another broadcast that I like to listen to, and I try to catch it every week when it comes on, and if I don't hear it on the car radio, I hear it, I listen to it online, go out of my way, is Let My People Think with Rob Zacharias. And that broadcast is just what the title implies, Let My People Think. And he shares tremendous things to help us think. Now, that's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be with you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It means learn to think like Jesus thinks. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, he gives us the example, verse 6, he says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. For anybody other than Jesus to think they were equal with God, that would be robbery, but not for him. And yet, even though he is equal with God, look at verse 7, made himself of no reputation. Do you realize that when Jesus walked around the earth, he did not deny that he was God, but he did not go around saying, listen, folks, I walked into town, now you all fall down on your faces before me. He didn't do that. He was here to worship people. He made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. Do you know what Jesus taught? Taught a lot of things, but one of the things that he taught was this. You want to be great, be a servant. He taught that the way up is down. The way to be great is to serve. And to serve others, to put God first and to serve others. So he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? He humbled himself. Same idea, he made himself of no reputation. But Paul reemphasizes, he humbled himself and became obedient. Same idea as being a servant. Reiterating again, became obedient, but how obedient? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, everybody who will think like Jesus thinks, and that is, not seek to make yourself a reputation, to humble yourself, to be a servant, to put God first in your life. We learn the thing, put God's will ahead of our own, will be exalted, not to the extent that Jesus is, for we are certainly not he, but we will be exalted. We will not have the name above every name, and every knee is not going to bow to us. That's certainly never going to happen, but we will be exalted in due time. New Testament says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You and I will get our reward. There's an old story that's been around. I've heard a couple of different versions of the story, but the gist of it's the same. The story is of a missionary who had been serving faithfully on the foreign field for decades. He was way up in years. His wife had passed away. His children were not with him. And he was alone. And after his many years of serving on the foreign field, he came back to the United States. He came in by ship, and ship docked in the New York Harbor. As would not be unusual for one of these ships, there was a noted celebrity on board. One version of the story has it being royalty. Another version just has it being a noted celebrity. But as they came into the harbor, there was a great crowd waiting for the ship to arrive, and music that played. And at first, the missionary thought, isn't this wonderful? After my years of faithful service, people have come to welcome me home. But he quickly realized that the crowd music was not for him. It was for the celebrity was on board the ship. And nobody was there to welcome him. At first, that depressed him. But then God spoke to his heart and simply gave him this message. You're not home. You're not home. And he realized that his reward is coming. His great welcome is coming. It wasn't in New York Harbor. It wasn't anywhere in our country. It's when he really gets home. That's a great illustration of what Paul is talking about here. Now let's go back to chapter 4, if you would. We're talking about having the mind of Christ. We're talking about thinking on these things. And if we're going to think the way the Lord would have us to think, then Paul gives us a list of things to think about. One of my favorite preachers, who's also the Lord, Dr. Lee Robertson, my pastor for a number of years, he preached a sermon once called Paul the Lister. And he pointed out how Paul was always making lists. If you read the epistles of Paul, he always has a list of the fruits of the Spirit, another example. Here, the things that we're to think about. And Paul made lists of things. And here's one of his famous lists. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now just think on things that are true. Don't worry about thinking on things that aren't true. I've said this to a couple people recently. And I have to be careful about saying things like this because somebody could get really offended. And this may be hard to believe, but it is never my intention to offend people. I end up doing it, but I don't intend to do it. Generally speaking, I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I've told a couple people recently, you have been listening to lies. You've been listening to things that aren't true. And you've come to believe the lies that have been told you. And I think that's the case with a great many people today. Been listening to lies. Jesus said, Satan is a liar and the father of it. We're to listen to things and think of things that are true. Now, in this day and age, how do you know what's true and what isn't? Well, quite honestly, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you hear something, you don't know if that's true or not. So what do you do when you hear something you're not sure whether it's true or not? Well, my best advice to you is wait and see what's true. Don't automatically believe something just because you hear it. Now, you've probably seen this. If like Brother Dennis said, you're on the internet very much. I've seen it a number of times on the internet. There's a quotation that says, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Quotation by Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. That'll catch you in a minute. Think about that. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln never said that. See, the fact is, just because you read it on the internet or hear it on the news or hear it from some individual that's talking to you directly or read it in a book for that matter doesn't necessarily mean it's true. I've read some things that weren't true. I haven't done this very often. I have books. I have too many books. I've given away some books. I still have too many books. I'm probably going to give away some more. But there are a few books, and I haven't done this in some years, but there are a few books that I took put in the dumpster out here. Why'd you do that? Well, I read the books, and after I read them, I said, not only do I not want to read that book again, I don't think anybody ought to read that book, so I put it in the dumpster. Things like what? Well, for example, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I read one book, which the whole book, the author was presenting his case that Peter and Paul preached two different gospels. And I read his book, and I read his arguments and everything, and I said, how ridiculous. How absurd. Nobody needs to read this book. You read this book, and you believe it, you're just going to get confused. So I tossed the book away. I read another one that said, the Jewish people today aren't the real Jews. They are imposters. The real Jews don't exist anymore. And so therefore, all the promises to the Jews aren't valid because the Jewish people today are not really Jews. How absurd. How absolutely absurd. Again, I don't want to read that book again. I don't want anybody else to read it. So trash it. You get the idea that I'm talking about. Now, Whatsoever things are true, think on things that are true. Think on things that are true. How do I know if it's true? Well, number one, if you know that it lines up with Scripture, then that's pretty good evidence that it's true. Number two, what if it's not a scriptural matter? Check the facts on it. Well, I know how to do that. I'm getting my phone out here and I'm checking the facts. Well, some of these fact-checking websites aren't really all that accurate either. Had you known that? You have to be careful about that too. But the fact of the matter is, try to verify whether it's true or not. I have to be careful and watch myself sometimes when somebody tells me something that happened. I have to say, well, I'm not really sure if this is true. When I go share with somebody else, it may not be true. I'm not talking about gossip. But I'm talking about things that I've heard that maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. Well, if I'm not sure if it's true or not, I don't want to present it as though it weren't true. That makes sense? Okay, and none of us should. So think on things that are true, things that you know to be true. And don't waste your time thinking on things that are ridiculous, things that are absurd. And there's an old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Don't spend your time thinking on things like that. Think on things that are true. The second thing he says, think on things that are honest. We have a short supply in our society today of honesty. Too many people I know will tell you whatever it is they think you want to hear just to get you to do whatever they want you to do. There's a name for those people. It's confidence artist, or most people shorten it and say con artist. They tell you what they think you want to hear to gain your confidence to get you to do. And we were talking about this last night afterwards while we were cleaning up next door. Somebody got one of these emails, and this thing's been around so long, I got it before there was email, and it just came in the regular mail. And its details vary somewhat, but the central scheme is always the same. Dear friend, you don't know me, but your name was given to me as somebody that I can trust. I'm in another country, and they name the country, and our government is about to fall, or I'm very sick and I'm about to pass away, or some other similar disaster is about to happen. I know it is. I have a great deal of money. I need to move out of my country. I can't do it by regular channels. And so, because you were recommended to me as a very trustworthy person, I'm going to put millions of dollars into your bank account if you'll just give me the account number. And for you being kind and helping me out, I'm going to give you a percentage of it, maybe 10%, 20%, whatever. The first time I ever saw that, again, wasn't in an email, it was in a regular U.S. letter, and it came in the U.S. mail, and I read it, and as soon as I read it, I said, oh my goodness, what a scam. Can I just be honest with you? I think you already know this, but let's just be honest about it. No total stranger is going to put millions of dollars in your bank account. It's not going to happen. People do not do that. What they will do is this. You send them your account number, and they'll take whatever money you have. That's what that's about. Let's not think on those things. Let's think on things that are honest. Let's think on things that are straightforward. Sometimes you hear things on the news and you think, well, who's telling the truth and who isn't? And it's not always easy to discern. Think on things that are honest. And then think on things that are pure. So many things today are not pure. So many things are corrupt. Let's not spend our time thinking about the things that are impure. Think on things that are pure. Keep your thought life clean. And then think on things that are love. Think on things that have to do with love. Think on things that are loving. That's a beautiful way to think. Think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, good reputation. Good reputation is hard to come by these days in things you hear. If you listen to the news daily, which I think most of us do in one form or another, But if you listen to News Daily, you're going to hear all kinds of bad news. Back in the 1970s, there was a popular song that came out, and I'm certainly not going to try to sing the song for you, and if I did try, first of all, I couldn't remember all the words, and secondly, I probably wouldn't get the tune very well either. But the fact is, here's what I remember from the song. Part of the chorus says, "Sure could use a little good news today." Hey, that makes sense, doesn't it? Couldn't you use some good news today? Sometimes I feel that way after I've listened to the news and the broadcast goes off. I said, where's the good news? I heard all of this tragedy and sorrow and terrible things going on locally and statewide and across the country and around the world. How about some good news? Think on things that are of good report, good reputation. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Let me tell you what I heard about. Don't listen to that kind of stuff. You know what that is? That's a great introduction to gossip. But we're Christians, so we don't do it that way. We do it this way. I think we need to pray for brother, sister, so-and-so. I think they're having a problem with it, and they just fell in the blank after that. Be careful about that. Whether it's secular gossip or Christian gossip, it's still gossip. Things that are of a good report, think about those things. Then, things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. Some years ago, there was a person in our church, I don't even want to infer whether it was man or woman, doesn't matter. A person in our church, and they were here, and they were serving here. And somebody came to me, and they said, hey, isn't that the same person who years ago, and they named something bad in that person's life? You know what I said? Thought for a minute, I said, yeah, same person. Truth is, I've forgotten about the thing you're talking about. Is that bad? I don't think so. Same writer Paul says we need to forget the things that are past. We need to press forward. But think on things that are of good report. And then he says at the end of the verse, if there be any virtue. Now virtue is, in the Old Testament, the same word as valor. It means courage and honor and strength. But in this case, it also means beauty. If there's any beauty, any goodness in something, think about that. And if there's any praise, think on these things. What did we do just a few minutes ago? A few of us praised God for things he had done. The grandmother who wasn't in the room when the roof fell in. The souls that have been saved, the children that are healed, safe travel mercies. The blessing of using the internet. We think on these things, things that are praiseworthy. And praise God. You know, one of my favorite songs that we sing, I don't say my very favorite because that wouldn't be true, but one of my favorite songs is the one we sing every Sunday morning. And the one bad thing about doing something every Sunday like that is sometimes it gets to be routine and you just do it without giving much thought. And that is the doxology. I like the doxology. And I heard it on the radio recently. And I liked it when I heard it on the radio. And think about what it says. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. James says every good gift and every, perfect gift, thank you. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We ought to praise God. And give him thanks and praise him for what he's done. Now, if we're thinking about things that are true and honest and pure and lovely, a good report, a good reputation, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Stop at that semicolon. Do you understand what Paul's saying there? This is a pretty bold thing to say. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You've heard the old saying, Do as I say, don't do as I do. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, do as I do. The things that you have both learned from me, the things that you have received from me, the things that you have heard from me, the things that you have seen me, do those things. Wow, that's a bold statement. How many of us could do that? How many of us could go to a group of people or write a letter to a group of people? As a matter of fact, in this case, a letter that had been read by countless people for a couple of thousand years, and say, live the way I live. That's quite a statement. And yet Paul said it, and the Lord allowed him to keep it in the scriptures. And we pointed out at the beginning of the message, Peter says, Paul's writings are on par with the Old Testament scriptures. So is it okay for him to say this? Evidently it was. How can he make such a statement? You're going to do what I do. You're going to do what you learned from me, what you received from me, what you heard from me, what you've seen in me, you've observed me. You're going to live like me. Isn't that a little bit pretentious? Not if you mean it the way he did. In another place, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. How could Paul make such a statement? Because he thought about things that are true and honest and pure and lovely, a good report, things that were virtuous and praiseworthy. And if we do that, then the God of peace shall be with you. Well, isn't God with me all the time anyway, whether I do things right or not? Of course he is. But can I share something with you? Are you always at peace? If you're going to be telling the truth, you may have to say, no, sometimes I'm not. And if I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to have to say to you, no, sometimes I'm not. But, preacher, you get stressed pretty much every day. You get burdened all the time. Do you ever get down? Somebody told me this recently, said, I haven't told anybody this. I don't want anybody to know it, but I've been depressed. You know what? That is so not unusual. That can happen to anybody. And it's not always because you did something wrong. Matter of fact, you may not have done anything wrong whatsoever. You can still get depressed. You're trying to do it right, and you get depressed. Happened to Elijah. But the God of peace will be with you if you think about things that are true. Don't believe the lies. Don't even think about the lies. Things that are honest. Things that you know to be right. Meditate on the scriptures. A lady said to me leaving church this morning, she said, you know, in Joshua it says, meditate on the word of God day and night. That's exactly what it says. Things that are pure, things that are lovely. Think about things that are lovely. And we were out here the other evening, and I looked back over this way and said, what a beautiful sunset. I said, isn't that a wonderful picture that God paints for us? Think about things that are lovely. Things that are of a good report, not gossip, not negative, good news. Things that are praiseworthy. You and I should endeavor to live as Paul lived so that others may follow our example. We should strive to live as examples to others who want to follow Jesus. And we can say, be you followers of me, even as I also am following Christ, if you are truly following me. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We were talking in Sunday school hour this morning how God does for us things that we can't do. He doesn't do for us those things we can do for ourselves. He does for us the things we can't do. So as we surrender our heart to the Lord, as we spend time in His Word, as we meditate upon it, as we think on things that are true, honest, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, then we can come truly to be at peace. The God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessings. Thank you for this time that we thank you again. Lord, help us to think on these things. So many burdens, so many cares, so many problems, so many worries coming into our life on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to think on these things. Help us, Lord, to keep our mind focused on you. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts me. That's about us, opposed, really not any strangers here tonight. So I'm just going to say that we're going to sing a hymn. God spoke into your heart. There's a need in your life. You respond as we give the invitation. You just need to come and pray and do that. Let the Lord have his will and his way in your life. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.